How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. It's the Freak Show edition of the program. Canada survives and advances into the gold medal game. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been pretty. But when it's all said and done, people don't remember the final scores of games. They just remember the championship banners, and they remember whether you won the gold medal or whether you did not win the gold medal. So Canada are in to the gold medal game. But we've got a big weekend of action this weekend. We've got, listen, Major League Baseball is back. Spring training baseball is back for the hardcore degenerates. You know, I love international sports tournaments and events. And the WBC is around the corner as the Olympics are wrapping up, and college basketball March Madness rapidly approaching. Some conferences are like basically almost ready for their conference tournaments right now. They're into their final games of the regular season, and we've got a massive Saturday of college basketball. Now, these are sort of made for TV games. You know what I mean? Like, is it the end of the world if Michigan doesn't beat Duke? No. Is it the end of the world for Duke if they lose to Michigan in this game? No, but it's still going to make for great television. Arizona and the Houston Cougars. We've got some big-time college basketball games. We'll talk about the Olympic hockey a little bit later on, but we got Rob Vino for a couple of minutes. Got Cam Stewart in the house, but we'll start off with college ball with Rob Vino. Rob, good stuff. Thanks for joining us today. How you doing?
We're good today, Gabe. Exciting morning there with the Olympic hockey, and now on to, like you say, a huge weekend in college basketball with those games. There's some big news this week. I mean, just really quick before we get going, you just mentioned Arizona-Houston playing tomorrow, and it brought to mind really quickly how, you know, Richie Saunders done for the year for BYU, JT Toppin done for the year for Texas Tech, and the Big 12 is basically just crumbled into Arizona-Houston with those injuries. So I guess KU is there, but Darren Peterson likes to check himself out of games, so I don't know how seriously we could take KU. Arizona-Houston, that league is falling into their laps.
That's why you can never award a championship to a team mid-season, right? Or you can never give the Heisman to somebody or the MVP to somebody until the season. You know what I mean? Stuff. The full season needs to play out. But you know, they are fun games. You know, the Arizona Houston game, that's a more important game than Michigan is, than Michigan and Duke. I mean, Michigan and Duke's a non-conference game. It's one of these, you know, made for TV type of deals. It is on a neutral court, so it is in Washington D.C. Michigan have just been an absolute juggernaut this year. And there's sort of been peaks and, you know what I mean, ups and downs, peaks and valleys with the Michigan Wolverines this year, in the sense that they started the season off and people really didn't notice them, like, early. You know what I mean? They went to TCU. They won by 6 or 7. You know what I mean? They weren't ranked in the top 10. And, you know, and then, you know, you had the Vegas tournament, which they just smashed everybody by 50. And then they became overpriced. Some people, you know, oh, they're not as good as people think they are because they're not covering point spreads. They lose. They had a bunch of close scares. They went like 1-8 against the spread on a 9-game run or whatnot. They did play a lot of really close games. But it seems to me now, Rob, that they're sort of dialing it up again. Like, they're sort of back. And it's funny to say a team that has one loss on the season's had peaks and valleys. But you know what I mean as far as like the quality of play. But they're starting to peak again, Michigan. Like, they're starting to look like they did, like, early in the year. This, to me, they're the best team in the country, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that at the end of November, After the Thanksgiving tournaments, it just seemed like, we didn't know anything then, but they just looked to the eye test to be the best team in the country. And then, they're winning games, but they weren't covering. You're absolutely right. Odds makers jack up the power ratings, because they needed to be jacked up. And early on, I don't think they could make them high enough, Gabe. Finally, they did. Conference season started. It gets a little tighter in conference season. You don't cover any games. But I mean, they're just a wagon right now. I mean, even, Yaxel Lendeborg's social media stuff can't stop them. They go out and beat Purdue 91 to 80 the other night. And it wasn't even that close. 91 to 80 is kind of misleading, an 11 point win. It was bigger than that. Getting into the game for tomorrow, though, really quick, I see an early number as we speak here of Michigan, 2.5 point favorite, 148 and a half total, bet up some places to 149, 149 and a half. I have to say, the stuff I've heard and read about this game so far within the last, 18 hours or so, it would lead you to believe that Duke is on equal ground with Michigan. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I don't fall into that category of thinking that Duke is on equal ground with Michigan. Feel like Michigan's front line, every bit as good, if not even a little deeper than Duke's. I feel like Michigan's perimeter play, every bit as good, if not a little bit better than Duke's. It was interesting to me the other night before the Purdue game, or after the Purdue game, maybe one or the other. Dusty May came out and said, I don't even think we have hit our ceiling yet. And that's kind of scary if Michigan hasn't hit their ceiling yet. And Duke's an excellent top five team in the nation. I just don't know that they're within 2.5 of Michigan. Every time Michigan's been presented with something like this, whether it be Breslin Center, money coming in on Michigan State, tough place to play, rivalry, et cetera, blow Michigan State out. The Purdue game the other day, blow Purdue out. When they're confronted with these games in this price range, they've been terrific. I don't know that you can go against them at this point in time on this neutral floor.
They're undefeated on the road and on neutral courts this year. Their solitary loss was to the Wisconsin Badgers, and that game was at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. Michigan 25-1 on the season, 14-12 against the spread now because they are overpriced. But anytime you get Michigan, it's almost like the Dodgers, guys, right? It's like, well, you know what? We're getting the Dodgers in a pick 'em, right? You know what I mean? It's like you got to take them, right? It's like you got to take them. It's like the other night with Michigan at Purdue, it's like, yeah, Purdue are really good, but when do you get Michigan as a pick 'em, or when do you get Michigan at one or whatnot? So same thing. Now you get Duke, but it's like, all right. It's funny because it was 1.5 and it has bumped up to 2.5. The market responded. Duke are 24-2, right? It's not like Duke, you got 25-1 versus 24-2, guys. That's why this is so cool. It's funny. They're both 14-12 against the spread, but they're both really good defensive teams, guys, right? They're both amongst the top five defensive teams in the country. And despite the fact that they both have good offenses, they're both heavily under teams, right? Duke are 18-8 to the under on the season, guys. The Michigan Wolverines are 15-11 to the under on the season. What do you think about the total, Rob? Yeah, they both play to the under, but man, it's hard to go under 148 and a half with these two teams on an NBA court.
Yeah, and I think they're unders, they're under trending teams for different reasons, right? Duke doesn't necessarily have the point production ability that Michigan has. Duke doesn't really play at the pace Michigan likes to play. There's some differences there between them. I think what's good for
And let me
both
throw
sides
something
here.
in too. Knowing as a
Go ahead.
Michigan fan, a lot of games don't go over, guys, because they're up by so many points in the second half and they take the
That's
pedal
a
off
good
of that.
point.
They're not like Michigan. That's like Rob said, Cam. Like Michigan could be even better, but like I said the other night, like when they dropped 91 on Purdue, Michigan sort of took the pedal, like not the pedal, like because Purdue didn't go away, but Michigan went into kind of more of a shell, like with 8 minutes left. They were up by even like 16 at one point or whatnot. And they still scored 91. Like I said, Cam, if Michigan like had to, I legitimately think they could really score like 110,
10.
115 points a game. If like it was like, all right, the other team is scoring, we need to score, but they're up 92 to like 74 all the time with 10 minutes left in games, So they kind of take the pedal off the metal.
Excellent point. And that's the thing that people have to realize, that you can't just look at the box score. You got to look at the way they're winning games and what they do late in games when they have big leads, right, Vino? And that's the thing. And bookmakers, during that run, they put these totals when Michigan was kicking the crap out of everybody. The totals got higher and the spreads got higher, hence the unders, right? So we have to look at things, the marketplace. What is happening with the team? Why is this? Because people are betting Michigan, they're covering. Let's make adjustments. And that's what's happening. Gabe, I agree with you 100%. I think they could have put an easy about 105, 110 on Purdue. I think they're better than Duke all around. They play tougher competition in the Big Ten, guys, and it's going to be a great game, but I lean Michigan. But it is hard. Gabe, I want to take an under at that, but think about it. You know, 74-74, you're there. A team gets into the 80s with the scoring that both sides have. It'll get over, but the bookmakers did a good job.
Speaking of overs, one thing that I'm proud of myself, and you like this, Rob, I know you know, being the total better that you are in college basketball better, the Denver Pioneers, right? One of the top over teams in the country, but they're way overpriced now, right? They used to go over because their totals are 137.5, 139.5, 141.5, but, you know, at one point they were like 15-2 to the over this year, and the odds makers finally adjusted, even though it's, you know, Denver games, no one pays attention, but they finally adjusted and they're 2-5 to the under in their last seven. And last night, the total was 161.5, Rob. And I said, this is just too high for this Denver team, right? The odds makers are now over adjusted because they got beat so much with just sort of general overs, blind bet overs of people that don't even watch the games. Hell, you know, he can't even find a Denver game on a stream, let alone on TV.
Denver hockey, but, maybe?
Yeah, but they go over all the time. But I decided to shake it up a little bit, Rob. I broke the religious trend, but I said, you know what? It's going under, and it did go under.
Yeah, and, you know, inside the Summit League, there's a few of those teams that are just dealing with injuries to key personnel. And for South Dakota, Denver's opponent last night, South Dakota's...
What, the Summit League? Yeah, the Summit League.
Love it. I don't know what it is. Like, I've always bet it, but, like, for whatever reason, this year, like, I'm telling you, Rob, I was talking about this on a TV show last night, which I was like, man, I'm really dialed in on these North Dakotas, South Dakotas, Montanas. Like, you name them, man. Like, Montanas. I've just been dialed in that conference, Rob, this year. Mm-hmm.
You got to love it. I mean, for South Dakota, they were a huge over team to start the
Kansas
year, too.
City.
They lost
their like, how about Kansas City? The Roos.
Well, the Kangaroos.
They're literally, they didn't cover it. Listen, they were only down by two last night. For people tuning in, nobody talks about Kansas City, the University of Kansas City Kangaroos. They're terrible. Like, they're really bad. Like, they're bad.
But they play games with pace games.
Yeah, they lose games outright, but they also don't cover. They've only covered five games all year, and they're on an 0-12 ATS run right now. 12 straight games they haven't covered. So last night we laid 11 with North Dakota, who aren't even that good. They're okay type thing. And it was 37-35 at the half, but it ended up still being a rout when it was all said and done. But all right, so I could ramble on. My bad. My apologies.
Brought to you by the Summit League.
I have to add to that before we wrap it up real quick, because we could have parlayed, Gabe. I'm on North Dakota team total over 80.5 last night against that team. So I could have put my team total with your side play. We could have parlayed and won. Could have hit
it. I never lay 11 points in games, but last night I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. There's no way in hell I'm going to bet on Kansas City. So I was like, therefore I would take the other team. But so Michigan, Duke, quickly, Rob, no, get to Arizona, Houston. Michigan, Duke, over, under, are you going to pass?
I'm going to, you know, if I play it, it'll be toward the over, Gabe, obviously. I want to mention one thing here really quick, because Michigan's the type of team that needs a challenge. Not that Duke doesn't, but I think the fact that Cam Boozer is on the other side will fire up Michigan, and I'd love to see their front line against them. I'm more inclined in this game to play Michigan -2.5. Then I am the total. Like I say, I'll give it a look, but I just feel like Michigan, they're going to take Boozer as a personal challenge. And the other side of the coin, you know, Duke does know Elliot Cadeau pretty well, played him a bunch, not necessarily these players, but the coaching staff, Shire and company. Cadeau's been great this year. So I think he's probably got a little more advantage because they just have so much weaponry on that side of the floor. So I'm probably looking. In fact, as I talk here, Gabe, I see Michigan bump up to 3 in a certain spot right now. So I probably should play it rather than talk about it.
Yeah, tomorrow when the public really starts to realize, oh, Michigan and Duke are playing on TV later, then yeah, I think people are going to jump on Michigan. And of course, Cadeau transferred from North Carolina. So, as Rob alluded to, has a history with the Duke Blue Devils. Arizona, Houston, we got a total of 141.5. The Cougars are laying 5.5. Arizona, you know, I knew Arizona was good, but I knew Michigan were better. I didn't think Arizona was the number one team in the country. Arizona lose 2 games in a row. They bounce back. They do beat BYU 75-68. Now they go on the road. It's 5.5, 140.5. Do you see a side or an angle on this game that catches your eye here, Rob, with Arizona and Houston?
You know, I kind of like Houston just because I like Kelvin Sampson in these situations. I'm not going to say they gave the game away against Iowa State the other night because obviously Iowa State had to, pull off the 10-point comeback on their home floor. But Houston had that game in hand, and the end of that game wasn't good for the Houston Cougars. So whenever, you get Kelvin Sampson in this type of situation where they can try to atone for a loss. There is no history between these two this year. They haven't played yet, so we can't look back and say, certain aspects of this game, certain matchups. But I do think, Arizona's a great team on the boards, but Houston always matches up on the boards. And Houston just has so many threats from the outside this year, so many scorers. And in fact, one of the best freshmen in the country, all we hear about is Peterson and DeBanksta. But there's freshmen all over the place pulling off good stuff across the country, including at Houston. So to me, I think Houston's probably a good play in that game. I think Sampson will have them ready. And I just wonder at this point in time if, in fact, Arizona's comprised of like 4 freshmen in their top 8, and we're 25 games in. And it just seems like maybe Arizona hitting a little bit of a wall. They had kind of a break the other night against BYU because Saunders was hurt and BYU kind of banded together for one game. Okay, we're going to get together, play hard without Richie, et cetera, et cetera. But, Arizona still couldn't stop AJ DeBanksta. He had 33 points, over 50% of the points. And it really was the guy who is targeted by every defense across the country this year. And without Saunders, you could target him even more. I like Houston at home in that game to get a little bounce back off the Iowa State game.
I got like 2 more games before we get you out of here, Rob. And you can throw a random game at us if you want, if something catches your eye on Saturday's card, and or even even a a Friday night game. We got Miami, Ohio in action again. But I've got to ask you about the UConn game and Villanova because you are in the Philadelphia area. And I wanted to ask you. You and I talked a lot about Missouri football. And I know you followed the Missouri program pretty closely. I did because I had their season win total to the over. Every year, there's sort of a team that, like, I bet on the win total and I become a fan expert of the team, Rob, Cam. You know what I mean? This year was
Nice.
Missouri. Like, who knows what it'll be next year? But, like, I watched every Missouri Tiger. I was like, yeah, Michigan on the big screen. I was like, yeah, put Missouri on the computer. Let's
Need
go. Like,
Missouri.
yeah, so sick. I knew, like, oh yeah, Missouri, who are they playing in 3 weeks? And people thought I went to Mizzou, so like I knew so much. Like talking in like a sports book, oh yeah, Missouri schedule. I'm rattling it off week by week because I bet on the future. But do you follow the basketball program as closely as the football program? So they're playing Arkansas. So any thoughts on that one? And you being in Philly, and then you got UConn coming off the loss to Creighton, of course. So Hurley, whatever, dude. Hurley's just a psychopath. And he's run out of people to criticize and rip. So now he's moved on to ripping the UConn fans for not being enthusiastic and kissing his ass enough. And then he turned around and he loses on his home court to Creighton, which was not a good look. So now they go on the road to Villanova here. Any thoughts on these 2 games?
Yeah, real quick, I'll start with UConn 1.5. Their personnel is so much better than Villanova's, but give Villanova head coach Kevin Willard credit. Stepped in there first year. He's a good coach, veteran head coach, and he straightened some things out. Nova shoots the threes really well, but they still should not be able to play within a bucket of UConn, even if the game is on their home floor. So To me, UConn's one of these teams, Gabe. They've been overrated for the majority of the season. At first, I thought maybe they were just taking teams lightly because the Big East, to put it mildly, stinks this year. You get beyond St. John's, which is a good team, but the rest of this league, the usual suspects, all are terrible this season. And UConn couldn't cover against any of them. Maybe they were a little bit overpriced, but then you see what happened against Creighton. And Hurley basically said it, right? Hurley said, I got a lot of really, really good man-to-man defenders on my team, and they're progressively getting worse as the season goes on. You give up 91 to Creighton on your home floor, it's not really good, especially after you destroyed Creighton. And Creighton, I think there's a bounce back in effect, especially at this price tag. I don't know how you could play Nova here. So I would look at UConn to bounce back just because they're deeper personnel-wise, they're better. Maybe they receive the coach's message. Who knows? The other side of the coin, the Missouri game, Mizzou, great win the other night against Vanderbilt, +3.5, win that game 81-80. They've had some really good wins at home this year. I tell you, I kind of equate this game to if you go back on the schedule for Missouri. They had a game they won in overtime. I'm forgetting who it was against. But anyway, Mark Mitchell throws up a three in overtime at the buzzer. It goes in. Mizzou wins. Place goes crazy. Had to travel to Alabama next game. Alabama was off a loss. Alabama absolutely murdered them because they played that. Mizzou just couldn't hang with that up-tempo style of play. Same type of situation here. Mizzou off a one-point win, huge win against Vandy. They needed it for their resume. Now you go to Arkansas. Who comes off of that? It was it double overtime, I think, the other night against Bama,
It
117,
was.
115. Darius Acuff Jr. goes crazy, but they're another team, extreme tempo. I don't know that Missouri's, first of all, it's a bad situational spot. Second of all, I don't think they can keep pace with Arkansas. And third of all, Arkansas at home in Bud Walton is a different breed. And Calipari's got that team on the ascension right now. I tell you, they're dangerous. So it's a huge number. 10.5. But I think if you go back, Mizzou lost that game to Alabama by a boatload. And I wouldn't be surprised if they lost by 11 or more tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, I was watching that game and I bet the in-game over guys 201 and a half.
Saw that over 200.
There was like 16 minutes left in the game. I'm like, yeah, whatever. We're live on the air. I'm like, yeah, I want to do it. So I'm going to do this. So I did it. The game kind of slowed down a little, even though it was a crazy pace. It was just like, I mean, it slowed down a little bit. And I only won because it went to overtime. Like it was gonna lose. Like it was like 93-90, whatever at the end. And they played a little weird free throw game, and then they hit the three and ends up in overtime. And then the floodgates open in the first over. Like they scored like 35 points or something in 5 minutes in one of the overtimes. So like, it was wild, man. Like that first overtime was like, holy crap, they just scored 20 points in 3.5 minutes or something. And then that second overtime, they were so tired. It was like 5-3 or something in overtime. It was like just brick, fall down, fight for ball. Like it just turned into like you could see like those kids have good endurance on those two teams because they're used to running. But like they showed a shot of the Alabama bench, man. Those kids were gassed, man. Like they had hands on hips, leaning over, like ready to throw up type stuff. But that's what all those drills paid off for, kids. You pulled it off. But you're right, Arkansas. These SEC teams, they're not getting talked about. Florida are really dangerous, obviously, but like these other ones, people aren't talking about them. But I said on the show the other night, guys, it still won't be easy to deal with them in the NCAA tournament. It's like, yeah, is this Alabama team as good as past Alabama teams? No, but you better buckle it up. Like you better buckle up when you play them because they can hang 98 on your ass. And you know what I mean? You got to keep up. Right. Yeah, they might, they're not great on defense, but they're going to score. Same with Arkansas. It's like, all right, these kids are relentless. So, they're not imperfect, but they're going to put points up on the board. They're fun teams to watch. Rob Vino, Wager Talk, wagertalk.com. And check out all his college basketball stuff. Rob, I got a little tip for you. I know you like to put money on a little side leagues and stuff like that, but National Lacrosse League, this stuff is lit. All right, this stuff is lit. And we're going to the game tonight, the Vancouver Warriors versus the Buffalo Bandits. And Vancouver coming off a tough loss, but it was to the number one team in the league by far, the Saskatchewan Rush. They've only lost one game. And Vancouver are 6-3, and they're good. Like, they have a home ice. They have a home, what do you call it, home field, I guess? What would you call it, Cam? Home rink?
Home rink. Yeah.
Not home
rink.
Ice.
Yeah, no, it's
even though it's
on
in the
rink.
Same arena as the Canucks play. That's what I was like.
Home
ice,
home turf.
Yeah, like,
it's home turf.
No, home rink. Yeah, home rink. Home, yeah, rink. Home field, I guess. Whatever you want to call it.
I like home rink. Nice.
No, but they get like 13, 14,000 people a game. So it's not like it's like one of these side leagues and stuff. No, no, the arenas are full. And anyone's paying attention this year, guys, in the National Lacrosse League, it's crazier than like bare knuckle fighting. Like, it's nuts, nuts. Like, we all know how lacrosse is nuts. It's like, no. Like, it's to the point where like the league is going to have to tell them, like, listen, guys, like, like the other day they had a fight before the game started for like 10 minutes. They literally just walked out and said, let's go. And they threw it down. And yet, of course, there was a bunch of kids and people are like, you're fighting in front of kids and the game didn't even start yet. I don't know if you guys saw the clip 2 weeks ago when the Vancouver goalie smoked somebody. And it started like a bench clearing brawl. Yeah, like the Vancouver Warriors are living up to their name. Like, I'm telling you, like, I'm praying and I'm in the front row, guys. I got seats right against the glass, Cam. I'm just praying there's like a brawl. Like, I want violence tonight.
I'm going to tell you too, Gabe, the Bandits are a cocky team. You know, even though they won back-to-back championships, like, they'll come to Vancouver and like to stir it up. That could be a big mistake. No, I'm predicting lots of violence. Take the over on fists.
Well, look, as far as the total's 20.5. The lacrosse totals,
yes,
I've never read the fights, yeah, but like the totals, I never really figured out lacrosse totals yet. Like, I haven't, like, yeah.
They're all the same, Gabe. Under. All the same. Even when teams score more than that, take a look. Like, I'm on FanDuel. There's 121.5. They're all 20.5. Look at all the games tonight. There's no 168. Yeah, they play at a better pace or whatever. They don't know what to do with lacrosse.
Yeah, but the thing is, last week, Vancouver lost 9-8. Sometimes it's 12-11. Like, yeah, they're always around 20.5, 21.5 and stuff like that. But, like, dude, the highest scoring teams, I hammered the over last week thinking I was smart, and it ended up like 8-4. And it went way under. But I was just going to say, the Vancouver Warriors, guys, they played 9 games. They've outscored their opponents 102-84. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you look at, like, Buffalo, they're 4-5. They've been outscored by 5 goals. Now you're coming all the way out to the West Coast to play a Vancouver team that are called the Warriors, that are nuts, that have a bunch of brawls. And, oh, yeah, it's hard rock night tonight.
Music lacrosse and metal?
Yeah. So last game it was country, and it got pretty rowdy with the country boys down there. But, like, tonight it's hard rock night down at the arena. I was like, oh, and we're not on, we don't have a show tonight. So I'm like, oh, I'm so going hard rock night. I'm not. Let's go.
Bring your guitar, Gabe.
Vancouver. I'm getting drunk and I'm sitting in the front row. Let's go. So, bet on Vancouver, Rob. Think of me tonight. I'm telling you, I'm in on it for real. Like, I'm not just betting because I'm going.
I'm going to do it. And I don't know what's better. I don't know what's better, is you being at the Vancouver indoor lacrosse game or me finishing the show this morning with Trigger and watching him grab his car keys to get in his car and drive to Massachusetts for the Merrimack Siena game.
This guy's it gets better every week.
He's a Siena grad.
I was going to say, this is pretty close for him, actually. He's in upstate New York. Yes, it's not too far Siena for me, exactly.
Merrimack versus Siena. That's awesome.
This guy,
he takes it up, but like, this guy wish he went to win an award. That is the hardcore award, man.
I saw the Dons and Loyola Marymount. I thought that was pretty.
That's good stuff.
That's like the Lakers versus the Warriors.
Compared to Merrimack, yes.
We need Paul Westhead coaching Loyola.
Yes.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Later, Vino.
There's Rob Vino with his good stuff with Rob. Big time college basketball games, fun basketball games. I don't know if they're big time. I mean, whatever, dude. Michigan's 25-1, so it's like,
is Miami of Ohio going to cover again against Bowling Green? Or are they just going to keep on printing, like, winning, covering? Like, wow.
Well, they don't cover all the time. They have had a good covering thing, but Miami of Ohio have had a lot of close games. My deal with Miami of Ohio is I just put them in moneyline parlays every game now.
Yeah,
I don't. I missed out on the 10-1 to be undefeated. And the plus 275 wasn't really – I looked at it. We talked about it a lot. It was plus 325 or whatever in that range. But they had 7 games left. So I'm like, seven games. Like, that's a lot of games for only plus 325. Because there's going to – and look, like, and I pointed out, I said, guys, there's going to be a couple of games where they're not that big of favorites. Like, the other night, they were laying three on the road at UMass. And that was one of the games a lot of people thought that they might lose. So they were laying three. It was minus 150 on the money line only.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, like, I like them in that spot, Cam, but I'm not in love with Miami, Ohio when they're laying 8.5, 9 and stuff. Like, they seem to win by 6 then. Like,
you're right.
They have a lot of pressure on them now, too, right? They're 27-0, whatever the hell, 26-0, 27-0, whatever. They have the pressure now. They know they're under the undefeated team. They're not thinking about point spreads. It's just like they win the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like we always, you know, we used to say, Cam, we, you know, the saying, the collar's tightening for them. You know,
well, I think you brought up a good example early in the show, and people need to know this. Like, when you're talking about Denver Pioneer basketball, and I look at these things kind of like as a stock, and you know what I mean? When they're putting these numbers up, Gabe, and for you to bet an under, you're like, okay, I'm going to make a conscious decision. The numbers are too high by the book. And eventually, instead of just laying off because I like overs, I'm going to take an under. And these things do happen, right? The question is, when do you attack? When do you get on it? But eventually, it's like a stock at its highest or lowest, and you're seeing the books. Yeah, the numbers are too high. So I'm going to go the other way. That's good gambling.
Yeah, exactly. If you're a stock trader, you don't buy the same stock like every day for the rest of the year, right? You got to mix it up a little bit. But as far as, like I said, you know what? Listen, Miami of Ohio are good against the spread. They're 17-6 ATS this year.
Amazing. Which
is, yeah, like it is incredible when you consider they're winning and covering, but – all right, you know, dig down a little bit deeper. In their last 10 games, they're 7-3 ATS. But there's been some close calls, like around the number. And, like, I'm just saying, like, the odds makers know about them now. Like, they didn't care about them 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. It's like, yeah, whatever, they're 12-0, who cares? Now, like, everybody's 26-0. But the numbers are there, guys. They're 26-0 straight up, 17-6 against the spread, and they're 16-7 to the over. So, like, man, if you're just betting Miami, Ohio to cover any over every game, man, you're a combined 32-13 on the season just with one team.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you've been in on it. But, like, it's 8 points. Thing is, Bowling Green don't suck. They're 16-11. And my whole deal with them, it sort of is now too, Cam, is that Miami, Ohio have a giant-ass target on their back in this conference now. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to get every team is like, yeah, yeah, we want to be the ones to knock these son of a bitches off. So, yeah, I'm not laying the points tonight, but I will put Miami, Ohio in parlay. So, as we stated, we're going to be going to the Vancouver Warrior game. It's hard to believe that I haven't been there yet because I am a big supporter of, like, local teams and I like going to sporting events and stuff. But they were, like, really, really bad. Like, I didn't even know there was a team, like, when I got here. And they were kind of new and stuff, and they were bad. And, like, with the Canucks owning the building, it's the same owner as the Canucks, too. So, like, with the Canucks, the Warriors, like, always get kind of weird spots. Like, you know what I mean? Like, between, like, the Vancouver Canucks being the primary, it's the Canucks building, concerts, which there's a lot of in Vancouver. I don't know, like Warrior games, like they were always on when we're on the air, basically. It's just like, yeah, I can't go. Like they're playing this. Same with the women's hockey teams. Just I've had bad luck with their game and their schedule. But we're not on tonight. And I really sort of didn't want to do this because I admit that I can still party hard, but man, there's a lot of pain and, you know, I paid a price after, so... At this stage, I'm the type of dude, I can go hard for one day, but I like to take the next day entirely off. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I need to sleep for, like, 18 hours, like, after I party. And then I can party day three again. Yes. Like, you know what I mean? I can't, right? But, like, it hits me hard. And now we got the gold medal game, Sunday morning at 5:00 a.m. Mm-hmm. I've got the Vancouver Whitecaps season opener on Saturday. which I'm a big diehard fan of the Whitecaps, so I'm going to that game, and I'm not just going to drink Pepsi there. So, like, and now we got to Vanna. So, like, and basically, it's an early game. It's 4:30, the soccer game tomorrow for soccer. They usually play at 7:30. They're playing at 4:30 for because it's on TV and whatever, so it's a 7:30 national TV game everywhere. And so it's 4:30 local. And then so then tonight, I'm like, man, I got to go to a lacrosse game tonight, and I got to wake up and go to a soccer game, and then I got to stay up till 5 a.m. Like, so basically,
busy weekend.
Like, yeah, I'm kind of walking into a bender. Like, I don't have a choice. There's two ways. Or I could just not drink at all and just say, but or, like, yeah, but.
Or you could go after the second game, find a window of time, but that's hard to do. You have to play that perfectly or it doesn't work.
Oh, no, that's not happening.
Yeah, then okay. Then it's all
I wouldn't want to wake up after, but that point. So I'm just, yeah, so the next 48 hours is going to be interesting. And on top of it, my wife has her friends coming over, and they're going to see Cardi B tomorrow night, and they're having a big party.
Cool.
So, yeah, my condo is going to be a circus starting pretty soon.
It's going to be
between her and her friends and me coming in and out all weekend from various sporting events. And
literally and figuratively.
I better be winning, otherwise my mood could be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You guys going to take your party
elsewhere?
At least
elsewhere. I admit it. Like, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, get out of here.
I remember there was a saying, there was a guy in Montreal, was a big radio host in Montreal, Ted Blackman. Not Ted Teevan, my guy, and they didn't like each other, Blackman and Teevan, but Ted Blackman was a big time guy and stuff, but he was known as kind of like one of those kind of a mean dude, like off the air. And someone said, they said, what's it like working with Ted? And they said, I'll tell you what, man, if he has a bad Sunday of betting, he's one miserable son of a bitch on Monday mornings, and he's a mean bastard to everyone. I always got to laugh at that. Someone said that about me at a radio station once. I overheard someone talking, and they just said, oh, I hope they win tonight, because the other night he really was in a bad mood, and he was really a jerk to me during the show. I heard the operators talking. They were like, oh, yeah, when the Canadians lose, he really turns into, like, he gets really, like, mad and angry. And it's like, yeah. So, like, I'm older now, so I sort of temper it, but, like, I was about to flip out about the Team Canada stuff. More like just like, oh, God, I have them in a lot of
future. Oh, we knew Finland would be tough, man. These guys play the game. Like, they know that they're guys in the NHL. Like, they play defense. You got to beat. Like, when they were up 2-0, you're thinking, this is a team that will know how to play defensively in a trap. But you saw eventually the pressure got to them. And once it was tied, you knew Canada was going to win. But this has been no joke. Like, this is the thing. Now you got to come back against Chechnya, and you have to do it against Finland. Like, I'll tell you, man, this is scary times. These games have been crazy.
At least we know they're battle-tested.
They are.
At least we know they're battle-tested. But Canada, like I said, it doesn't really matter how you do it. They're there. They're in the gold medal game right now. But there's a lot. The roster looked great on paper, fundamentally, although in hindsight, it's lacking skill. And John Cooper, who's a great coach, and like, listen, like they might end up winning this thing when it's all said and done still. And, you know, it is what it is, but he hasn't trusted a lot of players on the team. And it's kind of like, these are the best of the best. Like, you picked them. You were like, in Cooper, you were a big part of the selection, like, of these guys. You're the one that, like, you know what I mean? You were the one that sort of like, yeah, I want, you know, we're Hagel's on the team. Yeah, I want Bennett and Reiner. Like, there were certain guys that it was known that, like, Cooper doesn't have the last say. It's, you know what I mean? It's, you got a lot of people in the room with Hockey Canada, right? But Cooper had a big, powerful say on the roster. And now you see when they get down in these games, he doesn't play anybody. Like, he's like, no, like Bo Horvat, a good example. And I don't want to pick on Bo Horvat, but like, I always wondered, I'm like, how did Bo Horvat make this team? And he's okay, you know what I mean? But he's playing like 8 minutes, Cam. Like, Cooper doesn't put him on the ice. So it's like, why is he here? Why did you guys take him if you don't trust him?
That's a great point. It's not an NHL team with a fourth liner that plays 6 minutes. It should be all the Canada. That's a very good point. He's got to play.
Yeah, and it's like seriously, it's like, if you don't trust him, like, you know what I mean? Like, why did he, like, if you liked him 3 weeks ago, you got to like him now.
Yeah.
Right? And we can't, they play Celebrini and McDavid to death. Like, and they get tired. And like, it's been the same thing two games in a row. He shuts them. He shortens the bench right away. He panics right away. He doesn't play anybody. Then he notices, oh God, everyone's tired now. I keep playing Celebrini and McDavid and they're tired. So I better play the other guys. And then when you play the other guys, things start to happen. Like, Seth Jarvis didn't see the ice much. And then in the third period, earlier in the third period, Jarvis really had a couple of really good shifts. Like, he kind of turned the table a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? Suddenly the puck was in Finland's end when he was on the ice. And then I'll give credit to Brad Marchand, just came out of nowhere.
He played great today.
With about 10, 12 minutes left, and just started. He just sort of said, all right, since no one else is going to do this, I'm going to, like, get out of my way. And he started hitting people and loose pucks and, like, just sort of crashed the net. Puck sort of flew through the crease quickly. You know what I mean? Just sort of, like, he set the tempo a little bit. But I find that Cooper doesn't trust his guys enough. And I understand, because I don't like the guys either. I got to be honest with you. Like, how the hell did Mark Stone make this team? Like, honestly. Like, is Mark Stone one of our top 25 guys in Canada? No. Like, when you look at this, and I'm not even kidding, like, I posted earlier today, I'm like, you know what? And I said no, so I'll admit when I'm wrong, I'll unlike a lot of other people, but Zach Hyman would look pretty good on Team Canada right now.
He would.
We have no goal scoring. Like, Zach Hyman would look really good. Mark Scheifele instead of Mark Stone is kind of a no-brainer for me, but they don't like Scheifele. For whatever reason, I don't know what it is with Cooper. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, they didn't have him on the Four Nations. And now you had an extra six spots, and they still didn't have him on. So, they didn't want him. Connor Bedard. I'll tell you what, Connor Bedard's playmaking would really look good right about now. You know, he got injured. They, you know, all this other type of stuff. And, like, he wasn't going to make the team. So, he didn't even get injured. He wasn't going to make the team. So, it sounds crazy to say, but Team Canada just aren't skilled enough. Like, we don't have, like, and then I've been calling it bang on throughout the entire games, like, in-game, in which I said, our offense, the lines just can't do this. Like, we basically have three or four guys that can put the puck in the net, only I said our defensemen are going to have to shoot more. Like, you look at Team USA, guys, they get a lot of production from their defense. That's where their offense comes from, essentially. And, you know, blast from the point, they either score, it gets tipped, rebounds, etc. They don't really get sustained pressure to U.S., and Canada wasn't either. So it's like, guys, like, Makar's been playing great, Cam, but I just posted, and of course, Cam or two Drew got all mad at me right away because I said, Makar needs to step it up.
He's an Avalanche apologist. You know
Oh, God, he is. And I basically said McKinnon is kind of not doing well. I said he's okay, but he's not, you know. And then he came at me right away. He's playing on one knee, Gabe. So you're admitting he's not like, you know. I said he's been okay, well, but not great. He goes,
To your point, Americans, they have natural finishers on their team. You said it, and I agree, and people can say it. McDavid's, sure, he could be the best player in the world, but it takes him a lot of chances to score, whereas Americans have guys that just beautiful hands, like natural. That's the whole thing. We look at the players that we have on their team and go, good, 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 solid. But they're finisher. They have great goal scorers on their team. And that's what you're going to need that when push comes to shove. It's very important.
Like a style. If they were a basketball team, they're hitting threes.
Yes.
Team Canada, we're almost like Michigan State. Like, we need to chuck the ball at the rim, miss it, kind of like.
Get our own rebound, ugly, again.
Like,
bam.
Yeah, like, that's honestly, like, We're not like the USA, exactly. Like, the USA can sort of just skate around and, like, oh my God, they just one-timed it in the net. Like, it's like, all right, that was pretty fast and skilled.
Well, we talked about it before the tournament.
We're more old school Canada now. Like, this roster that we have, we don't have a choice. Like, that's what I thought too during the game today against Finland. They kept on trying to, like, skill their way through the Finns. I was like, guys, this isn't going to work. Like, Celebrini tried to go one-on-one versus two of them. It was like Connor did it a few times when we were down 2-0. They started to get frustrated. It was like, all right, I'll try to do this myself. And I was like, no, that won't work against these guys. You got to go NHL style. You know what I mean? Dump the freaking puck. Just dump chase, cause chaos, guys. That's what I loved about Jarvis and Marchand in the third. Like, at least, like, that puck was in the Finn zone and it was randomly bouncing around in weird places and stuff. like McKinnon, McKinnon camp, he's trying to be too perfect all the time for whatever. I don't know. Like, I swear, like, he's a perfectionist too. I'm not criticizing him. He would tell you, like, he's so hard on himself. But like there was just a time in front of the net, like Forsberg yesterday with Sweden. Like, when we were down 2-0, there was a time McKinnon had the puck, like, on the side of the net. It was a perfect chance for him to, like, do his thing and score. He tried to pass it, and it ended up getting deflected and tipped out of the zone. There was a, like, he's just sort of, he's not in his zone, like, for him. Like,
yeah. Look what happened when he didn't think about it. They scored that goal. You talk about it. Stick side.
Yeah, yeah. That was a one-timer, right?
Shoot.
It was just boom.
One-timer.
So like, he didn't think. Yeah, like,
do it. Don't think. That's the thing. Sometimes
I think he's
so
hard on himself, though, that he's like Crosby. Sid is out, and Crosby's his best friend. Mm-hmm. So he's like, oh, Crosby is out. I got to be the guy. Like, I got to step it up. Like, and I don't think he is 100% either. I don't, you know what I mean? But
he's hurt.
He stepped up late. That's all that. Canada, like, you know, reminds me of Anderson Silva. Canada right now. Like, Anderson Silva.
That's a great example. Almost dead and then wins.
Yeah, when Anderson Silva, he defended the belt like 10 times in a row or 8 times in a row, whatever. He was like one of the greatest of all time, but it started to get dicier at the end. It was like, oh, this, like, you know, and then there was the Chael Sonnen fight where it was like, man, he's about to lose. Like, literally, like, he was literally like 30 seconds away from losing. He's on his back, and somehow he ended up submitting Chael Sonnen and he escaped, but then he ended up losing eventually. Like, Canada are dancing with the devil. And they're lucky there's only one more game left. Like, if this was a best of seven series against the USA coming up, I think they would lose. And I got to tell you, I think Canada are overpriced right now. Like, USA are just sort of like flying around. It's almost like the women's. It's almost like the same thing. It's like the USA team are faster, and it's just sort of this. Like, Canada are going to be on their heels against the US on Sunday. But Canada, like I said, they've got the heart of the champion, Canada, right? They've got that next level of, yeah, we're down, but don't worry about it. We're going to, you know, and Cooper told them that the other day, too. He said, don't panic. Everything's fine. We're going to score. And Cooper's very philosophical. Like, the other day against the Czech Republic, he told them, he said, guys, it doesn't matter if we score in the first 5 minutes of the period or the last 5 minutes of the period. And then he told them, don't get frustrated if we don't score in the first 5 minutes of the period. And you saw that today. Canada sort of, the first 3-4 minutes of the period were really good in the third period. And then they got mad they didn't score. And then from sort of the 15-minute mark to the 10-minute mark, it wasn't good. You could tell Canada, that's when they started to go one-on-one and sort of. And then with 10 minutes left, they sort of went back to, all right, dump the puck. Just dump the puck in and see what happens, right? You know, they've been, man, I got to tell you, this hasn't been easy. Like, I'd like to be a fly, like, I'd like to be in the hotel bar or in the village or the, you know, the hotel with the coaching staff. Like, you know, off the record after a couple of drinks, them going, oh, my God, like, we fucked that up so hard. Like, we're lucky. Like, there's been a lot of mistakes by Canada. And Binnington today early wasn't great. The first goal, Cam, really wasn't his fault. It was kind of one of these weird knuckle things. I think it hit someone's skate a bit, but it was one of those, not your fault, but it would have helped if you would have stopped it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you could have, yes.
And then the next one was a breakaway. Well, you can't blame him, but it was like, listen, it really would have been good if you would have stopped that. Right? Now we're down 2-0. And I was like, oh, boy, the dams are about to break.
That
break
third,
for
though,
Binnington.
That blocker save, that's what he does, Gabe. He's just one of those guys. When you need him,
yeah,
he's there.
He kept us in the game, exactly. Like, when it was 2-1 even, Finland nearly scored again, and he made a big save with about 12 minutes left. And I thought, fuck, he just did it again. I was like, all right, he's keeping you in it. So, but we got one more game to dodge, to dance with the devil and try to escape with gold, but this is not going to be a fun couple hours. I got to tell you, man, on Saturday night/Sunday morning, 8:00, 8:00, so East Coast, 8 o'clock. All right. So we talked about the college basketball. We got the Olympics and baseball is back. So next week we'll start getting into some preseason exhibition baseball a little bit, baseball win totals and previews. WBC, what's going on with that golf, Cam? I haven't paid attention.
Oh, it's actually pretty good, Gabe. A lot of the guys, Rory was like one shot off the lead. A lot of the guys did well, but I got to tell you, they had a weather delay and it kind of stopped things. So they just finished the first round. And what else is new? Exactly what we talked about when you and Wetzel were on the air. Scottie Scheffler, Gabe, almost last place again. Can he do it 3 weeks in a row? Go from last place to a top three or four? Unbelievable. Shortened field. He shot three over. He was raging yesterday. Like, I saw him smash his club, hitting the ground. Like, he looks very frustrating. I don't know. And I don't have the answers to this, but he's just not a Thursday player. It takes him a while to shake it off. Thursday, he's bad. Friday's better. And then he makes it on the weekend and goes bananas and just falls short. Not the same Scheffler we remember. You want to talk about a guy playing with fire. If he could shoot even par earlier, he'd probably win every week. Three over heading into the second round.
Now, these are tune-ups for him, right, with the majors coming up. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Augusta's not that far off, right? That's sort of part of the
April.
The sports calendar and the cycle continues. All right, so as I stated, give me the Vancouver Warriors tonight. And I like this for real. I'm not just saying, oh, yeah, we're taking it because I'm going to the game and hoping for the best and stuff. I've done that with the Canucks in, like, in the past, like 5 years ago. Like, yeah, the Canucks suck, but I'll bet on them because I'm going for the game.
Right? Go ahead. Why not?
No, but, like, and tomorrow night, listen, the Whitecaps play tomorrow night. The Whitecaps played their first game of the year on Wednesday. And the MLS is whacked, man. Like, it's just so stupid. So think about this. Like, they basically have no off season, but anyways, like, they played, like, the MLS Cup, like, December 18th or something like that. So they're back already. So imagine your first game back is in the CONCACAF Champions League against the Costa Rican team that's played 15 games. So, like, Costa Rican League is mid-season. The Whitecaps play on Wednesday night in Costa Rica, their first game of the year. And now they're playing their first MLS game of the year on Saturday in Vancouver. You had the entire offseason. Like, really? Like, so, like, think about the life of these guys. Like, it's like the first game of the year, the first two games of the year. Yeah, we're flying from Vancouver to Costa Rica. And then we have to fly back to Vancouver to play 48 hours later against Salt Lake.
That's insanity. That's stupid.
Like, why not make the game on Sunday?
Exactly.
Like, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, what? Why not say, well, listen, if we're doing this Champs League stuff, make the MLS like a week later or whatever. Like, but no, like, so whatever, dude. But so the Whitecaps didn't play everybody the other night, and they, you know, they did, but they managed minutes, and they knew, like, basically it's an aggregate, right? So they add up the score in Costa Rica, and then they play in Vancouver next week. So basically, Vancouver didn't care. Like, they were like, fine. They had a scoreless draw. The team for Costa Rica didn't try to score, and Vancouver played half their team. It was kind of like a practice for them almost, and it's scoreless. Now they'll play this week in Vancouver next Wednesday again, and all Vancouver has to do is win the game at home, and they will, right? They'll play their guys, and they'll win the game, and they'll advance in the tournament. But, like, it's just stupid that you start the season, and you got to play a CONCACAF Cup game and an MLS game in a span of 72 hours, whatever, 4 to 3 days. It's just like –
it's a lot of travel.
What kind of league is this? Like, what are we doing? Like, you know, like, really, it's Bush League. It's the best way. It's unprofessional. And it hurts the product because teams are always managing players' minutes all the time in MLS because they play all the goddamn time. Right? It's frustrating. But I'll tell you what. So we do like the Vancouver Warriors to win the lacrosse game. And the soccer game, everyone's going to be on the Whitecaps. They made it to the finals last year, but I'll tell you what, guys, they lost a lot of players, all right? They kind of cheaped out. I'm not happy. Like, they lost more than they gained. They still had a really good roster, but they lost a couple of, like, role guys that they didn't want to pay. And it's only the second game of the year. It's the first game of the year for MLS and stuff. So I think just to play it safe a little bit, guys, a little Asian handicap plus half a goal. Like, it wouldn't shock me if it was a draw. I'm just saying, like, I think the Whitecaps will beat Salt Lake, but it wouldn't shock me if the game ended up a draw. So I'm just saying, like, so I like the Vancouver lacrosse team to win. The soccer team probably wins, but I won't lie to you. I'm going to put them in, like, plus half a goal and a lot of parlays and stuff like that. So we'll have more picks online. Good luck with the golf this weekend, Cam. And we'll see people online. I'll be posting video. I'll post a video or two, obviously, from the games this weekend, and we'll see if I'll be up and out Sunday morning at 5 a.m. I actually want to, because it's going to be hard to be up. Like, I'm going to be partying all weekend and stuff. So if I know, oh yeah, yeah, like the bar opens in an hour or something when it's 4 a.m, I'll be more motivated.
Yes, that's right. The more you wait, the worse it gets. You just wanted everything to bleed into each other.
Wife's like, oh, you're not going to a bar. You can watch it here. It's 4 a.m. I'm like, yeah.
I could.
Yes, there's a Boston Pizza, like right.
Yeah, they better show right
across
up
across the street from me. So like, yeah. if they're open, I might cruise over there for a drink or two at 5 a.m., 6 a.m.
They could be doing the same.
But, well, it'll be 8 a.m. for you.
Here, yeah, they'll be open.
A little bit. Like, people are bitching about the start time in East Coast.
I'm not bitching at all.
8 in the morning. What
do
you care?
Yeah, exactly. It's fine.
5 a.m. sucks.
Yep.
8 a.m. is far from ideal, but we'll have a bunch of picks. And like I said, we got a massive weekend of games and Olympic action, too. And we're finally getting on track, too, guys. For those of you that followed our Olympic picks, I told you, man, we finished in second place a million effing times in these events. But we're starting to get a little bit of a roll right now. We've won our last 4 non-hockey, like, random Olympic bets, which I'm proud of. Like, I want to keep it going, though. And we will with the curling. So we'll be posting some picks online. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our boy, Matt George. Great job getting the show posted. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.